Welcome to episode 109 of CNBC, the podcast about enjoying beer. I'm Mike.
And I'm Chris. And in today's episode, we have special guest Brennan with us.
Say hi. Hello. They can't see you wave. It's a podcast.
It's a visual medium, right? I can just wave.
It is not.
And we're drinking a few, what are these all, IPAs?
They're IPAs based on limited selections in Brooklyn delis, yes.
Yeah, it was a combo of what Brendan could get in New York and what we could get in Colorado. So,
but again, the irony, there was plenty of, I'm sure you could have got that Brooklyn brewery.
Yes.
There was like six different flavors
so
of Brooklyn.
That, next time we can do a Brooklyn brewing vertical, yeah, apparently. All right, so the first beer, Sierra Nevada's Hazy Little Thing IPA, which presumably is a hazy IPA.
So,
ooh, it smells good.
I'm gonna play the part of, you know, the audience here. So what is it exactly that makes something a hazy IPA? I understand it's gonna be the consistency, but what's going on there, I guess, is my question.
Oh, man. Don't test us.
Chris is the beer.
I've already ruined it. They're like, he's just gonna come in here.
Ask questions, make us look dumb.
So the hazy is about the filtration on it, right?
And so when you look at it, yeah, definitely you can't see.
Okay, so what you're kind of saying is that when it, like a Budweiser or something, they filtered the crap out of that. Oh.
Yes, and you're okay. Skip, you're. What is it? Jittering?
It's all right.
Hi, Jibba.
Oh,
you don't
know,
have
it's
a
fine.
Cat, do you?
Do you need a Claritin?
Are we live?
Yeah. So, smells nice.
I can't smell anymore. COVID. It's a little. I'm getting. What notes are you getting?
Maybe some like grapefruit type stuff.
It's very fruity.
Yeah.
Bright.
Bright, yeah. I would say bright is a good term for it.
All right, I'll go with that. The color, the head's very thick, creamy. It's nice, hazy, very effervescent. This is like a diamond cut bottom here. Woo! Oh, wow, that's not as fruity as I thought it would be.
It is a little, at least the taste, the sort of the very bitter hops taste that I tend to get in the back of the mouth.
Yeah. No, that one's definitely got a West Coast bite.
Yeah, it definitely hits the cheeks a little bit.
That smelled fruity and taste pretty West Coast there.
So Sierra Nevada out of Chico, California, up there. That was like the party town, party college in the UC system.
Chico was?
Chico State, yeah.
I just remember hearing about...
North of San Francisco?
North and east, yeah. It's kind of like in the Central Valley there, I think, isn't it? It's not like...
It's below
up against
the Big
the
Sack.
Is it? Is it below or above? I don't know.
I've been there.
I don't remember.
Chris, when we were kids, was the world traveler. None of us had ever lived anywhere.
Yes.
Except Montgomery County.
Well, you lived in D.C.
Well, but you know what I mean.
But yes. Yeah, no, Chris was exotic. He'd been everywhere. But yeah, I remember hearing stories of Chico from the old Don and Mike show because that was one of the places when they were like in D.C. and Chico.
When they got syndicated?
Yeah, when they started their syndication.
It was always syndicated very weird places.
Yeah. Yeah. We got extra stations, but nothing to put on.
Whatever happened to, speaking of California breweries, whatever happened to Pete's Wicked Ale? I remember that being very popular, like the start of the craft beer boom.
Yeah.
Beer boom 30 years ago.
Didn't we look that? I feel like we looked that up at some point.
We did.
That guy sold it to some company that sold it to another company, and I don't even think they're produced anymore.
They are
and
not.
And like went into chocolates or something.
Yes. But Pete's was everywhere back in the day. Like I remember bartending, and you would have Pete's. It was the only option outside of, like, you know, your Budweiser.
But there weren't that many craft brews at the time. You had Sam Adams, Pete's, maybe Sierra Nevada, and what was the other San Francisco one?
There was Anchorstein.
Anchor, yeah. Anchor Brewing.
I do remember when I worked at Gourmet, the liquor store in College Park, that Michelob had, you know, they actually, you know, tried to dip their toe into it, right? You know, it was some sort of, at the time, very dark beer for 1993.
Yes, you know, it was called Michelob Dark.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah, my dad would get it.
I remember those Michelob, yeah. Didn't they have like a few different flavors? I vaguely remember that.
I think they had a few different flavors, yeah. They did, yeah. But they didn't understand that if they still packaged it as Michelob, none of us hipster dipshit kids would drink it.
Right.
They were losing their audience.
But that, because we went for that. We went for the, there was the Anchorstein, the Guinness. There was oatmeal.
Harp, which we sort of considered some kind of craft.
Right.
Yeah, there were imports. Like Tattycaster and Newcastle.
Yeah.
What was the Coors product that was like an Irish red?
Killian's. Killian's made a revival, and my dad also got Killian's. I remember that. But Killian's was independent. Then it was purchased by Coors.
Is that what it was? Oh, okay.
And then it was decommissioned, and I think then the original folks redid Killian's again. But now it's not, I don't think
it's... Yeah, they're owned by Molson Coors now, or produced by.
I thought they... But then somebody did the original recipe for Killian's Red.
Killian's Irish Red.
Yeah.
I didn't know much about beer at that point. I just wanted to be cool.
And it was Irish. All right, so yeah. What's our thoughts on the flavor on this one?
It's a little much for me. It's a bit astringent, I feel like, if that's the right word, as you kind of get into it.
Yep.
Yeah. Know, I don't know that I'd have more than one of those for sure. But it's tasty, but it just kind of wears a little bit as it goes on for me.
It's 6.7%. That's pretty strong.
Well, one of these we got here is 9, or at least I have here.
Yeah, we couldn't find
that. We could not find that.
I'll be setting the alarm for 2:15 a.m., Michael.
Okay. You go ahead and do that. I believe I'll be getting up for my flight anyway.
You know, I sort of texted with Chris about this. I don't know how apropos this is, but it is so funny how in New York, everywhere just kind of has the same beers. And you have some, like, Bronx Brewery is like the craftiest beer you get, but even in bars it's kind of all, you know, it's the same 6 beers. Like, so having been out in Garrett County in West Virginia, like the craft breweries, I mean, like, you'd think in New York, oh, you can get almost anything you want, and it's really not, you know. I mean, I went to several grocery stores and delis and it was all pretty much the same stuff.
there must be places, but you have to like seek it out or something.
There are, like, beer sort of, like, those warehouse stores. There's a couple of those, okay. But I didn't really feel like trekking to do that.
Well, and I think,
way to put in the effort for the episode, Brendan, for sure.
There you go.
But, I mean, if you're not, like, a beer specialty store, even around here, it's a, like, everybody's like, look, I don't make enough, we don't sell enough of that. The like the general store and stuff, they're like, nah, man, we're just going to carry the basics.
I think it's just, and I understand it's a bit different situation, but like if I'm in West Virginia or Garrett County, like every bar you go into, maybe they'll have one or two you've had before, but it's like there's just so much craft brewing out there. It's like every place just has a different.
That's crazy.
But wait, you're saying the bars don't serve?
Here?
Yeah.
No, it's like Brooklyn, Guinness, what's that shitty, I don't know if it's Belgian.
Stella
Artois.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, maybe. Well, some places used to have Old Speckled Hen, but after Brexit, that stopped. I mean, it's just kind of the same. Very weird. Like, I don't know if it's a distribution thing or if, because I guess in more rural areas too, I know out by my dad's that because of the glut of disused sort of industrial space that's almost bred for craft brewing.
Right.
So maybe there's just more of them. But yeah, it's crazy. I mean, the bars here, it's just, you usually just get Guinness. Or wow. A Negroni.
A Negroni.
Speaking of hipsters.
And so,
so that one was, that wasn't bad. I mean, I still thought it was a little bright, but it did kind of wear on me after a while.
Yeah, I don't know if I've, I feel like I should, I must have had this before, but I don't really remember.
Well, I do remember us having a discussion if hazy equaled New England, and this is the proof that,
well, they started
not.
Together. It was like New England IPAs and hazy IPAs were interchangeable. Because they had that look, that cloudy, milk, almost milky look to them.
Right.
But then there was differentiation between, like, the New England style being more, like,
juicy, what,
citrus and juicy and that type of thing. And then West Coast hazies being more, like, had that dank and that a little more astringency.
This is definitely, yeah, West Coast. This is...
Which is this, kind of the same as... The IPA styles too, like the West Coast IPA has a little bit more of that astringency and dankness, and, or pine, like oftentimes pine.
Yeah.
Although you don't get as much pine in IPAs anymore. I'd like a nice piney IPA if I could find one.
Well, when I was in Alaska, I had a spruce. They use spruce
tips.
Yeah, and it was, that is bitter.
Oh yeah.
Oh, but you know, I mean, I had to try it because, you know, when in Rome and such. Do we talk about our recent beer experiences? That's for the next round.
We can grab another beer and then,
okay,
taste that. You want to do the Two Hearted?
Bells, I got it right here. This, okay, is I've been drinking this for a while, maybe 10, 15 years. My uncle Jim in Michigan, where this is from, has been a big fan of this for a long time.
Yeah, the brewery or that specific beverage, that type?
All of them.
Yeah.
All of them, yeah. You know, he's always stalking them. And in fact, I was recounting a story last night. One of the only arguments we ever had is he came home. I was staying there one time, and he came home and he goes, "There's no beer in the fridge." And I said, "Oh, I drank it." And he goes, "Why don't you restock it?" And I said, "Oh, I don't know." And he looked at me and said, "You're no fucking kin of mine." I walked outside and got in his car. I came out and I said to my aunt, I was like, "Is he really mad?" She goes, "Yeah, I think so." So Bell's Two Hearted, you know, tearing families apart for 20 years.
True Michigan beer.
An American IPA, just described. 7% alcohol by volume. This is, like, I remember drinking a lot of this in the D.C. area, not so much around here. It was always, I feel like Bell's, some Bell's, either Oberon or this one, was always on tap.
Bell, yeah.
Oberon is good as well.
Yeah.
That's their Belgian, right?
I don't remember. So this one's like, what, a little more amber in color than the previous?
It's got more orange going on, like their can color.
Nice fluffy head.
Delicious.
Yeah, we all have the same head.
Not as, to me at least, it's not as big a nose, but I don't have the fancy, I just have a regular British pint glass here.
Yeah, I feel like I smell a little bit of the malt on the nose, actually, yeah, versus hops.
See, that's why I was getting off the other one, too, though, so I wasn't sure.
This one?
Yeah, I was getting malt. But I think my nose is off due to reaction to cat.
This is an interesting, I'm not as wise as you guys, but if you just sort of handed me this cold, I might not have gamed it as an IPA.
Yeah.
Because they've gotten so, you know, the flavors with them here in the last whatever years.
I agree. This is a much more balanced IP, like much more.
It's very
like
clean.
Almost throwback to like when we first started drinking craft beer. We were talking about, yep, earlier. Like this is what IPAs tasted like then. They didn't taste like they do now, where it's just like hops in your face.
Yes, and they go. This is the well balanced, excellent word. Very effervescent, great color, very clear. No haze to this at all.
I get some like apple flavors in there.
Hmm. So it's just got the right amount of bitter to me. It's not like super, super dank like the hazy was. It's a, like to Brendan's point, like I wouldn't even necessarily call this out as an IPA. This tastes like an ale.
You could drink a bunch of these, I think.
Yes.
Like at a bar, you can serve this. You could put back a bunch of these.
Yeah, no. Yes. It's easy drinking.
I don't know what the opposite of sort of the astringent feel is, but it's a little more pleasing to me for like a mouth feel kind of thing, which is a gross word. So
mouth feel.
No, that's a good word.
Mm-hmm.
I do like this one. I do feel that there was a thing I used to describe like 7 or 8 years ago with IPAs where it was almost like IPA pornography. Like it was like, let's just, you know, whatever crazy shit we can do, you know, right. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, I always thought, is it the 120 minute IPA from Dogfish, or do they have one that's a step up from that where it's almost like.
They have the 120 minute.
Of this. But I remember going to the pub one time and it was like, came in this tiny glass and it was like, yeah, if we give you more than one of those, you're going to start hitting people with stools. You know, like, it all just was sort of like. More.
Yes.
So I enjoy this for sort of its reservedness, I guess.
And yeah. And it's a well-structured ale. Yeah. The 120 minute, like, yeah, because they had the 90 minute. That was their big thing. First they had the 60,
right? And then they did the 90. Then in the bar you could get the 75, which was like the blend. And then they did the 120, which was like, almost like, a barley wine.
It was
right?
Liquid
like
it was, bread.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they would give. It would come in like a 6 ounce snifter.
A little snifter.
Yeah.
Where was that, Mike? Like in Gaithersburg?
Yeah. Had
that pub.
The Dogfish Head Brew
Ale House or something. Yeah. Whatever that was called.
Is that still there, Mike?
It is still there. Yeah. They still have all the crazy. Like Dogfish does some experimental junk, but I do like their original. Beer, the pumpkin, their pumpkin ale is particularly tasty, and that's what they started with. That was their first beer.
Did something that was found in like an Egyptian tomb?
Yeah, they had that whole series of like
spit.
Those were good for like CNBC, but not good to drink otherwise.
Yeah. Yeah.
They like were good for a podcast with your friends, but that's about it.
Right.
And you're like, I'd never buy this again.
But they have a couple of good they have that was it the Bert oh gosh Burton
the oh the Burton Baton
yeah Burton yeah. Baton
that's that raisiny one. I never liked that one.
No, the raisiny one's the Namaste.
Oh no, I don't know. They had the one that was like
a Raisin d'Etre. So any final thoughts on the Two Hearted IPA?
Enjoy this quite a bit, especially as someone who has a bit of IPA fatigue. I enjoyed this quite a bit.
So speaking of IPA fatigue, we're going to go a little bit divergent. You're going to have your wonderful Maximus.
We'll find something else.
And we're going to find something else.
Why did I buy these big-ass cans?
So now you've cracked three of them that you have to like finish.
But I have to finish, and we got to... 6.7, a 7, and a 9.
You can't recork those or something?
I don't think cans can be recorked.
No, I don't think so.
I mean, you could cut the tops off, right? And then put foil? I don't know.
All right, let me see what I'm going to get then while he has that.
So
that reminds me of remember that shithole house I lived in college, Mike?
Yes.
Steining remembers it.
The one you shared with Wes.
Yeah, and 8 other people.
Yes.
We had a party one time where we got the bright idea to fill, I'm sure everyone's done this, to fill empty milk jugs with the beer from the keg before we returned it.
They don't hold their effervescence and they quickly turn to apple juice urine-y type.
Yeah, it gets flat and bad real quick.
Yeah. I learned the way that you have to have the sealed pieces in there. So,
anyway,
do you have a recent beer experience? Because our recent beer experience was our last episode. So,
well, this is the best recent beer experience I have, and it is a non-endorsed plug. But and mild IPAs. The Greenbrier Brewing Company out in West Virginia, the Devil Ants IPA was something that I had found in a couple different bars while I was out there, and could not recommend it enough. Really was just hooked on it. Did not have a chance to find it bottled or canned. Otherwise, I was actually going to bring some whenever the last time I passed through D.C. was.
Oh, nice.
Christmas, I guess. But like I said, things in New York, not the most, you know, varied when it comes to beer. So, but that, but, and also just the amount of craft breweries and the fun of going into just almost any different bar you went into, and there'd be something you hadn't heard of before. So that'd be my.
And it's pretty wild, right? Like West Virginia is not super populous, yet they have that much diversity of the beer experience there. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, there's the one decent bar in Oakland, Vagabond. They actually run small kegs in there, and I was talking to the owner, and he says it's because he has, you know, so many options. He likes to just roll them over, you know, every 2 or 3 days on the beer board in there. So
right. Yeah, that's what Brett was saying too. And the Revival Brews, the restaurant that he owns, is they basically have the board ready, and like they just flip stuff over. They don't keep the same thing on any tap. They just constantly flip new things in. Which is nice, because like you go there, there's always something different.
Which is especially if you're just if you want to be adventurous, it's always fun to just be like, oh, all right, whatever it is. You know, even sometimes I've been like, you know, the Cotton Candy IPA. It's like, do you sell half pints? Great.
Right. I'll try it. Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway, that's my recent beer experience.
Excellent recent beer experience. All right, so now we on to our third and final beer for this episode.
Yep.
What are we drinking, Jonas?
Well, it's actually four final. Third and fourth and final. Whatever. Brendan, what are you drinking?
Well, it's collectively... No. I have to take issue here.
It's each of our thirds. Yeah, okay.
Well, that was an easy one to win. Damn it.
So this, I did not realize this brewery, I thought they were in Vermont for some reason. I'm thinking of Smutty Nose for some reason. All right.
Smutty Nose.
Lagunitas Maximus Colossal IPA with a 9%. So this is practically wine.
And it's an it's a IPA or a double IPA or something.
Maximus Colossal. I mean, that's a great marketing opportunity. So.
All right. I knew you had that high alcohol one, so I tried to find something in my fridge that would match that. So we're drinking Pictures of Sunsets, Hazy Double India Pale Ale, which is 8.7% from Weldworks Brewing, if I didn't say that already.
And I believe Smutty Nose is New Hampshire.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Michael. I just meant somewhere in New England, which is a region in the United States.
Yes.
But Lagunitas, they're like right north of San Francisco on the coast there, right? Like that's where they're
at. That's
Petaluma,
plenty.
That's correct.
Petaluma, that's where Leo Laporte, one of the original podcasters, this week in oh my gosh. So what's yours giving you here?
So this is... I'm getting notes of the other one, very, very heavy hops, little bit fruity, but it is, as opposed to that hazy IPA, you can see that's very,
the
very
amber.
Clear.
Yeah, yeah.
We, on the other hand.
Is another very hazy.
Ours
looking.
Is quite milky.
Yeah.
Very tiny bubbles on the head. And it's a pale straw color, I guess, but it's very, very hazy. What are we drinking?
It's called Pictures of Sunsets.
Pictures of Sunsets.
There's a guy taking a picture of a sunset, and it's a picture of the guy taking a picture of the sunset.
That's so meta. And who is this by?
Weldworks Brewing up in Greeley, Colorado. Greeley.
Do you think sometimes these labels, it's like the woman that owns the brewery, like her husband's just bored, and it's like, oh no, he does the labels. It's like, but they suck. And it's like, no, it gives him something to do. Don't worry about it. It's very artsy.
Otherwise, he's getting in my hair. And
Ooh, wait, that's boozy. Is this a regular IPA or is this
a double hazy?
A double hazy. That tastes double.
Or a hazy double.
So sometimes you get these double IPAs that are really mellow and smooth and easy drinking. This tastes boozy to me.
I don't get booziness. I do get some astringency, but like it actually feels pretty smooth to me.
Could be my condition.
Or it could just be we taste things different, Mike.
There is something about the glasses of that very cloudy beer that looks quite inviting, though.
We'll yeah.
This is a little bit more bitter than fruity. Like, it's a little bit like the hazy little thing.
Yeah, it's more like that certainly than the Too Hard.
Yeah, it's got the dank, the astringency.
So this one, I actually would say, despite its high alcohol content, is kind of somewhere in the middle of the two. It's definitely not as mellow as the Bells, but it doesn't have that really astringent and that almost like super bitter up front that you get in like the heavy IPAs. It's good. The alcohol content would probably scare me off from having too many, but it's a little more mellow than I would have expected for something called the Maximus Colossal IPA.
Right.
You know, almost suggests it's like, what's the, like the old 97, right? If you can eat the whole steak, it's free.
So wait, I'm going to look this one up and read the marketing material on Maximus
Colossal IPA from Lagunitas out of Petaluma, California.
I got Maximus the Gladiator. That's not what I was looking for. I know you literally just said this. Maximus, what? Colossus.
IPA. You could also ask Chris. He probably remembers.
All right, here we go. I'm going to read the marketing spiel on this. I am 21. So Maximus is our colossal take on a double IPA full of Simcoe and Cascade hops balanced against tons of rich malted barley, a bed of smooth malted wheat, biscuity Munich malt, and English crystal. Maximus's massive dry hop bill entertains with spice, floral, and berry notes for the hop heads. What do you think?
Yeah, it is. You know, I don't know. To me, the fruitier tends to feel sort of wetter in my mouth, for lack of a better word. And okay. So it definitely has that. It's more palatable than the hazy for me, for sure. But I don't always know. You know, I think it's funny when they list out all these hops, these different varietals of hops, and it's like, I have no idea, you know.
What the hop
brings. Hops are, yeah. As opposed to.
You used to be able to know, but now there's so many of them, like you have no idea. And yeah.
No, that even makes me even
think of Wes used to have a bit. Do you remember when Sam Adams would do the ads about how their beer was made under like the German beer purity law
of
like 1415? Wes would have a bit about one. Black Death was ravaging Europe. They're bragging about that's the rules they use for making their beer. And also, you know, the ideas of just the words German and purity being in a row. Any type of advertising campaign.
Probably not good, but coming from Boston, it's not too far off, right?
Anyway, so yeah, these are pretty good. Maybe next time, you know, we can try and do something, you know, something a little weirder, but these were fun.
I've enjoyed them, especially in my current physical state, to be able to put any of this down was, you know, and enjoy it was a good thing for me.
Yeah. Mike was literally like, ready to puke all afternoon today.
Part of the reason we hiked in the ice is, I think, to help me, you know, get over the feel. I must share that I am not used to being in that state. Like, that was very odd for me. Like,
the altitude's a real kicker, right? I mean, I've never been that high, I don't think, right? You got to watch your alcohol intake because you're dehydrated, right?
Well, yes. Yeah, yes. And, you know, I've been here before. I've gone to breweries with Chris before, but it's just something different about this one.
Well, if you're getting into the liquor and then, you know, it's because the dehydration just comes from breathing, right? Isn't that like the issue, right?
Yeah. Yes. You have to hydrate, especially when you're getting acclimated. All right, I'm gonna get to this. So, well, let's do our final wrap up of what did we think of the beers tonight, gentlemen?
Yeah, what was Brendan? Which was your favorite of those three that you had?
Definitely the Two Hearted. I think, as we mentioned earlier, you know, especially the IPA fatigue. Sometimes you go into a bar and it's like they have eight beers on tap and six of them are IPAs, and then something else you don't want. So it's just kind of played out. I guess they're still popular, but just sort of the really present, super hoppy, astringent thing kind of over it. So the Bells was it for me.
What about you, Mike?
I'm gonna go with the picture of sunsets and sunsets.
Oh wow, you turned that around a little bit.
I like that one. It warmed up nicely. I'm always a fan of the Bell's Two Hearted. It's a standard. Love that one. And then yeah, I'm not a big fan currently the flavor profile of a West Coast. So, but that would be my order. How about you, Mr. Steinig?
Just took a last sip of each of those.
You're deeply pondering this answer.
You know, they're both good in different ways. I think I'll go for the pictures of sunset just because it feels a little different. And but Two Hearted was a close second. Yep. Yeah, the hazy little thing IPA from Sierra Nevada was okay. It was fine, but like. I would rather have one of these other beers than that one.
Right. I also wanted to pick this one because...
Michael, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I was just going to say I wanted to pick this because Brendan couldn't try it. And I just wanted to...
I do have to admit that the two of you, I was like, and that looked really good. And they were both like, yeah, that's my favorite.
But yeah, I don't think you could probably find Weldworks out in Brooklyn, unfortunately.
No, I don't think so. I don't think they get out very far.
But if you do go to one of those beer warehouses and you want to sample something similar, look for the New England Juicy Hazy IPA type flavor profile. I think you might enjoy that.
Where is the... I did have recently... Chris, again, if you want to mark this for editing... what's the label has like skulls on it.
Rogue Dead Guy Ale.
Like Ranger, Voodoo Ranger or something.
Oh, like yeah, that. Yeah, yeah. New Belgium's beers, yeah.
New Belgium's, their Juicy IPA. I actually had that recently and I really like that. So, yeah. Oh, is that the same people that make Fat Tire?
Out of
Boulder?
Fort Collins, yeah.
I've been to Fort Collins.
Yeah, that's where my son's at. Let's see CSU up there. Yep. So we need to make it up to Fort Collins sometime on some visit and go to like New Belgium, and I think Dale Oscar Blues is up there.
Oh, yeah. A couple but others. Wait, didn't they get bought out though?
Who?
Dale's?
I don't know. Maybe.
I think Dale's got bought out by some big but then Lagunitas did too, and I don't know. I can't remember all this stuff anymore.
I think Dale's did because I had a can of that the other night and it was like one of those deals where it was like Fort Collins and Chicago, Illinois, which I always assume means that they're just brewing it, you know, somewhere else. Although I'd be curious that Brooklyn, where that's brewed, that you guys are getting out there, it can't be brewed in Utica and then being shipped all the way out there, I wouldn't think. But
yeah, I don't know. They had a lot of it. Like they had a wide selection of Brooklyn brewery beers.
Yeah, so. It wasn't just basics so either. It could have been some oddball.
Because like a number of breweries have done that. Like Stone has a brewery in Asheville, North Carolina. I think Sierra Nevada has one in on the East Coast as well. There's a few of the bigger like craft breweries that have brewing locations. Like especially if they're West Coast and East Coast.
Sierra Nevada looks like Chico and Mills River, North Carolina.
Yeah, okay.
Well, that's like the bit that I remember 20 years ago. Foster's and what's the Japanese beer? Kirin. It would be imported, and then you'd look at the label, and it was being brewed at the Molson Brewery in, you know, outside of Toronto. Yeah, technically it is.
That was another beer we used to think was fancy. Remember, we'd get the Foster oil cans.
Yeah.
That was our being really hipster.
I don't know if that was different. Fancy or just getting drunk.
Well, that's what Mickey's also, was for that. Like,
there was a period Mickey's. Where every promotional photo of the Pogues, they were all carrying them, so we probably thought that was pretty rad.
Yeah. All right, should we wrap this one up?
Yeah, we can wrap it up. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, thanks for listening to CNBC episode 109. You can subscribe to our podcast feed in iTunes or get the podcast directly from our host at cnbcpodcast.com.
You can email us at cnbcpodcast@gmail.com, and we will not read that. You can also, we have a Facebook page, which, like, I don't know, might have some stuff on there. But mostly, oh yeah, we have our YouTube page, youtube.com/CNBC podcast, where you can see us watch us drink beer. And then we're on Twitter.
I will be, sorry to interrupt, I will be showing up on everyone's couch over the next 6 months. So, just in case.
That's a bonus.
What I've got going on.
If you download this episode, you get to have a visit from Brendan. He will stay on your couch.
We're also on Twitter at CNBC Podcast. That's where we'll publish when we have new episodes.
Why don't we move to Mastodon? Well,
time. Yeah, Elon Musk's.
I do not Twitter. Want to get that pay for the blue check mark, man.
I'm not paying for anything. Right.
Is a hobby.
So we have a number of episodes that will pace out over the next couple months.
Hopefully so. So. Alcohol.
I'm sorry, I'm not getting paid for this.
You're getting paid in enjoyment of company with friends.
We'll send you the residuals, don't worry.
Yeah. Everything.
Once they start coming in.
Once we get a sponsor, we'll let you know. Alcohol may be man's worst enemy, but the Bible says, love thy enemy.
Cheers.
Drink a beer.
Stop looking, listen to the phrase in Fred Astaire's, and don't get offended while Mace Dosey-Dose your daughter. A dry camera roll system is now set. Fly around the store under Daisy Productions. It stands for the inner sound, y'all, in your Quebec, that the action...
Yeah. Listen, you're not going to put the video out, right? Like, it's just best that no one
there's
knows
no video.
In this apartment.
So posse consists of three, and that's the magic number. This here piece of the pie is not dessert, but the cost that we dine. And three out of every darn time, the effect is, when a daisy goes in your mind, showing true position. This here piece.